please listen carefully.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Optum's Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, clearly, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, TGIF-worthy, Christy is taking a vacation-worthy next week podcast. Today is Friday, May 1st, 2020.
Yes, Summers, I'm very looking forward to taking my staycation on Monday and Tuesday, where I can just stay home and not get on the computer as much as I can avoid it.
I am so proud of you for doing it. And of course, we will miss you here at the Optimist Daily Update on Monday and Tuesday, but we will have a very special guest those days. Amelia Buckley, our editor, who has been editing the show this week, is going to join me and be the other voice of reason and optimism on the update. Now, what are you going to do on your staycation, Christy?
I might plant some seeds. I'm going to do some cleaning, which is in need. And I'm just going to hang out, take Tucker for a bunch of walks, and maintain my physical distance, but maybe reach out to friends and do some socializing.
Good. Yeah. Well, I will miss you, but I'm very excited for you, and I look forward to hearing a refreshed and enthusiastic rose-colored glasses back on Christy on Wednesday.
Has it been that obvious that I'm down?
You need a break. We all need a break. So guys, at our team, we're actually planning little vacations for everybody because here we are in the midst of all of this and you kind of forget that it is spring and oftentimes we had vacations planned. A lot of people had travel planned and they just didn't take them. So Christy and I, as leadership at the Optimist Daily, are determined to take a couple days off. I'll be taking 2 days off later in May and Christy's taking 2 off next week. Let's just get your vacation started. Let's get this wrapped up and get you on your way, my dear.
Well, let's go into today's solutions. Our first one comes from our building community section, and I really love this article, How Microgrids Play a Role in the Future of Food. In our Optimist View a few weeks ago, we discussed the critical changes that have come from previous pandemics. Food system security is an issue that demanded attention before the outbreak of COVID-19, and the virus has only exacerbated the need for real changes in our food systems. Global pandemics disrupt the effectiveness of our food chains in a system where climate change is already putting pressure on food production. So revolutionizing our food systems to emulate the structure of a microgrid is one great solution for creating resilient food chains. Food microgrids are not just beneficial for food security. These systems reduce transportation costs and emissions and help people move back towards eating in a more sustainable, seasonal way. They also more easily support regenerative farming technologies that maintain the environment, health, and boost output. And lastly, they are economically benefit for small local farmers rather than large and unsustainable farming corporations. Much in the same way that decentralized computer grids allowed for the development of cell phones and the updated electricity grid is transitioning away from large power plants to smaller decentralized renewable networks, our food systems need to localize. We've seen small craft breweries take over beer markets and the number of farmers markets has grown by 6% since 2014. Even large retailers like Whole Foods are turning to local suppliers. The growing farm-to-table movement is also a manifestation of localizing food systems. Technologies like indoor farms, vertical farming, and lab-grown meat will also help facilitate this transition and make it easier to grow food in difficult climates and closer to where it's actually being consumed. Basing our food systems around a microgrid design builds community, increases food supply resilience, benefits the environment, and boosts local economies. We at the Optimist Daily love to share stories about improving our food systems, and microgrids is one of our favorite solutions in general for lots of different things. I just like this, Summers, because the idea of decentralizing our food supply chains is something which I feel like is, you know, decentralizing a lot of different systems like our energy system and others builds local resilience, which is something we really need as the climate shifts and our work styles shift.
I'm really interested in what I observe as kind of a dichotomy between national nationalization and localization. We're seeing localization as a valuable tool rise in microgrids, in food systems, in civic leadership. And simultaneously, we are also looking for a nationalization of things like healthcare systems. So it's a really interesting dichotomy, Christy, that I look forward to seeing solutions resolve, that there can both be local management of good things like food systems and electricity and power systems, as well as national leadership on healthcare systems. And it would be interesting to see if we could have that systemic shift as we evolve into our next leadership cycle here in the United States.
It makes me think of that old adage, think globally, but act locally.
Yes, totally. Our next story from the Optimist Daily's policymaking section, crime survivors are turning pain into power to reimagine the justice system. Does a criminal justice system that prioritizes punishment over rehabilitation perpetuate a cycle of violence and inequality? The Alliance for Safety and Justice, a national group of crime survivors, thinks so. America's criminal justice system is one of the most obvious displays of pervasive racial disparity the country has yet to fix. Studies show that Black men are 6 times more likely to be incarcerated than white men. Additionally, statistics show that about 68% of formerly incarcerated individuals will reoffend within 3 years of their release, and about 77% will reoffend within 5 years. How much does it cost to keep this overwhelmed and ineffective system going? American taxpayers are spending $80 billion per year. The Alliance for Safety and Justice has set out to rethink the criminal justice system with a focus on healing rather than punishment. They believe that American criminal justice system does not address the root cause of crime. Robert Brooks, the organization's co-founder and vice president, explains, "One thing that is often missing in conversations about what will keep us safe is the people who were victims of crime. Part of our work is to bring them into the conversation and be responsive to their needs. We need to create communities that address the cause of the crime, prevent crime, and keep people safe. Survivors of crime and the people who harm them are often one and the same. Many crimes are committed by individuals who were at some point a victim of a crime themselves. The justice system does not ensure that these individuals are given the resources necessary to cope and recover from their own victimization. Statistics suggest that victimization, if unattended to, perpetuates itself into future crimes, creating a very dangerous cycle. This by no means strips offenders of responsibility for their crimes. It does, however, force society to question what our responsibility is to those who have been harmed." Organizations like the Alliance for Safety and Justice are advocating for focus on healing, put an end to the cycle of abuse, and they're using the strength and experience of crime survivors to enact this change. Last year, survivors helped pass Florida's first criminal justice reform policy in 20 years. The bill created job opportunities for people with felony convictions and removed barriers for crime survivors to access victim compensation. It also made resources for released felons more readily available, such as counseling and mental health support. While it would certainly be understandable for victims of crime to seek the strictest punishment possible for offenders, these individuals see a greater need, preventing others from experiencing what they did. They also recognize the weight their voices carry in enacting real systemic change. Perhaps the best way to change this broken system is to start at the root of the issue, and that's exactly what the Alliance for Safety and Justice aims to do. Rather than focusing on increasing punitive measures, they see a greater purpose in fighting for reform that's centered on prevention and healing. Christy, I love that our editors grabbed this story. Recidivism is such an important issue to discuss. Just like homelessness, criminal recidivism is a cycle, it is a condition, and we do have to address it. And I'm excited to see this organization bringing victims into the conversation.
Yeah, and this is something we've written about quite a bit on the Optimist Daily, Restorative Justice in Oakland, which is a great program. A good friend of mine, Akila Sherrill, he was working in Watts in Los Angeles, and now he's working in Newark with the Newark Community Street Team, where you bring people into the conversation, both the victims and the offenders. What this article is pointing out is really true. A lot of times it's the same people, you know, kids who were abused or victimized as small children. They're the ones who grow up and they fight back. Getting at the cycle and ending the cycle is really more important than just a punitive approach. So I love this. Our next solution from the education section on the Optimist Daily takes us a little further even. This Boston-based nonprofit pays former gang members to go to college. Founded in 2009, College Bound Dorchester is a Boston-based nonprofit that supports formerly incarcerated gang-involved or otherwise at-risk residents as they get an education, whether high school equivalency or a college degree. In 2016, the nonprofit launched Boston Uncornered, a program that pays a stipend to those former gang-involved students while they pursue their degrees and pairs them with mentors from the same neighborhood and often from the same situations. The nonprofit noticed that these students weren't matriculating at the same rate as others, partly because they needed financial support to be able to focus on school. So once they started providing a stipend, the matriculation rate to college immediately doubled from 35% to 70%. More than two-thirds of the participants continue with their college education each year, higher than the national persistence rate. The stipend, $400 a week while they're in college for an associate degree, was a way to invest in the residents, who are all too often incarcerated or just ignored by society. Mark Culleton, founder of College Bound Dorchester, explains the stipend is a way of saying to these young people, often for the first time, quotes, "We believe in your goodness. We believe in your desire to make a positive choice, and we will give you the freedom, autonomy, and support to do all of that." And it seems to be working. Naomi Charles, a mother of two who had experienced homelessness and incarceration, was given the stipend, and this has allowed her to focus on school without turning to theft just to get by. Now she's graduating with a degree from Southern New Hampshire University. Unfortunately, the coronavirus pandemic is making it extra hard for those being supported by College Bound Dorchester, but the nonprofit isn't giving up in its supporting role. At the moment, it is providing direct financial assistance to 125 families, though not all are getting the full stipend. And again, Summers, I think this is just such an interesting way of investing in the human capital, and the dividends that it pays are immeasurable going forward.
I think that investing in change as opposed to punishment is a huge opportunity. I think also, as we've talked about at the Optimist Daily, education and education opportunities are evolving in the face of COVID-19. Yesterday, the mayor of Los Angeles spoke to the graduating class of 2020 about encouraging them not to give up on their pursuits of college education, just because this has really thrown our world a curveball, as right now is when a lot of university students are being encouraged to make their commitment decisions. So not only for those of means, but for students who this may be their first year ever going to college, we really encourage you guys to keep hunkered down on that dream and don't give up. There's good things ahead, and this article reiterates the value of it to everyone. Something else to increase value for everyone from the ideas section of the Optimist Daily is the article, "You Can Now Volunteer in a Meaningful Way Without Leaving Your Couch." Today on the Optimist Daily, we actually published a story about additional ways that you can contribute to your community through volunteering, but many of the ideas are a bit on hold because of social distancing. So we pulled this article from yesterday because we wanted to share it with you as well. As the country remains at a social distancing standstill, not only are vulnerable people in need of essential items, companionship, and care, but many more fortunate individuals are finding themselves with more time on their hands and feeling that they should be doing more to give back to the community. And while opportunities are limited due to quarantine measures, now there's a way eager volunteers can help their communities straight from their couch. Thanks to a brand new website, Volunteer From Your Couch, people with an itch to make a difference can easily connect with organizations that need help to serve people affected by COVID-19. The platform that powers this new marketplace of action is called Mobilize, a volunteer recruitment platform that has responded to the current situation by making its technology available and free for groups responding to the coronavirus. To understand how it works, take the example of a local Meals on Wheels organization in Northern Kentucky, which, through the website's platform, has managed to put volunteers in contact with seniors to see whether they're in need of food or simply provide them with some human connection in a lonely time. The pandemic has also redefined what a volunteer can mean. For No Vet Alone, a charity that offers assistance to military vets and first responders suffering from PTSD, volunteering could mean anyone from around the country joining in new virtual happy hours or online yoga sessions to provide vets with company and meaningful connection. The Mobilize Rise platform has greatly facilitated outreach to vulnerable people most affected by the coronavirus, but it has also proved equally worthwhile for volunteers, many of whom are also lonely now. Love this idea, Christy. I think you were talking about feeling a bit lonely, so perhaps there's some volunteering in your staycation ahead for you.
Well, certainly I want to be reaching out, and I think this is a great way to reach out. I also heard that telemarketers are getting a lot more people talking to them as they're calling right now.
Oh, that's great. Just tell it, you know, the phone rings. It's, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? Sure, I want to hear about your offer. Love it.
Well, for our final story for the day from the environment section on the Optimist Daily, new excavations show that Romans were avid recyclers. This is ancient Romans, by the way. The ancient Romans are credited with many of our modern day amenities, including indoor heating, sewer systems, urban planning, and concrete. New evidence shows that they were even pioneers in recycling. A team of researchers at Pompeii discovered piles of trash outside the city walls. But what initially looked like junk turned out to mirror the construction materials of many structures inside the cities. The piles were filled with plaster and ceramic to be resold for new building projects. The evidence shows us that Romans were some of the world's earliest recyclers. Allison Emerson, a member of the University of Cincinnati's excavation team, said, "We found that part of the city was built out of trash. These piles were essentially a modern-day equivalent of a recycling center and were being used to build new homes, roads, and walls. This early recycling process is evidence that no society wants to live surrounded by trash. The ingenious repurposing serves as an example for our modern world. The average American generates 4.51 pounds of garbage per day. If we don't reduce and reuse, we will be buried by a mess of our own creation. Most effective waste management systems value commodification in addition to removal of waste. If the ancient Romans could recycle, so can we. Let's think circular economy, folks."
I love this article, and I love the historical perspective. A couple weeks ago, our Optimist View, which is sent to our Optimist emissaries every Sunday, it's our long-form essay, talked about the legacy of pandemics and the legacy of change that has been advanced in the world. And sometimes we do need to take a look at history to remember that we do know how to do things right. Thank you, Christy, for reading this, and thank you for reminding us that the Romans had it right way back then. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update on this Friday. We know you have a lot on your plate right now, and we are incredibly grateful for those of you who are listening and sharing with your friends and family. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com, and you can get the Optimist View as well. And for just $5 a month, you can support reader-funded independent journalism and be a part of the solution-changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Thank you, Summers, and that's all for me. It's Friday. I'm done.
Have a wonderful few days off, Christy. The rest of you, I will see on Monday.